The 4th of July break is over. We're getting closer and closer to the start of SEC Media Days. A lot of football talk today. In the NBA, Kawhi silently but stealthily gets it done for the L.A. Clippers. These stories and much, much more coming your way in the next 2 hours. Today, Monday, July 8th, 2019.
LaValle, Rose up the middle, looking, cutting, shooting, go! LaValle to another U.S.
Swing and a line drive into left center field toward the gap. This is going to get down. And a base hit. Gordon chases it down to third base. Eaton, they're going to wave him home. Relay to Mondesi. Throw to the plate. He is safe. A hit first dive for Eaton to the back side of the plate. On a base hit to left center field by Anthony Rendon.
Two, high fly ball, deep left field, to the wall, crushed, ball going, ball long gone, Fernando Tatis Jr. Like that tweet said, MLB, Tatis is not an all-star, why, capital W-H-Y, Fernando, his second of the day, a three-run shot, and a 5-1 Padre lead.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you. Happy Monday. Hope every one of you had a nice break away from things. A happy 4th of July. And away we go. CD back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Yours truly here, Studio 1A, and it's nice to be back. We're here for the next 2 hours as we attempt to inform, entertain, and provoke opinion. Our phone number, 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. Without a doubt, without question, the best soccer in the world is played in the United States when it comes to the females. And deservedly so. They were a juggernaut. 2-0 winners yesterday over the Netherlands to win their second consecutive World Cup title. They're just really, really good, and Americans are in love with them. The men, on the other hand, lose to Mexico 1-0. It's just different. For whatever reason, it's just different. But congratulations to the United States national women's soccer team, the best in the world. Things just got a lot tougher in the Western Conference of the NBA, as maybe we just didn't know Kawhi Leonard very well. He's something. He held out and held out, and he said, look, I'll come to you if you get this. And this was Paul George. And leave it to the logo, Jerry West, and the dollars and cents of Steve Ballmer, and some wisdom from Doc Rivers, and the LA Clippers are now an even bigger factor in the Western Conference of the NBA. Basketball is going to be good out in Tinseltown. Kawhi, Paul George versus LeBron, Anthony Davis. Both teams are loading up with ancillary talent and players to fill out their rosters. And away we go. Away we go. But Kawhi Leonard very, very shrewdly showed once again that if you're a mega star, you basically have the league in the palm of your hand. And you control the dominoes. Pat Riley taught us, if you're wooing a superstar, a true superstar, you better have another in-house already, and maybe even two. These players aren't looking for who you picked up in the draft. They're not looking for any of that. The Clippers have been after Kawhi Leonard for a full year. They traveled to his games in Toronto and around the league to let him know, hey, the Clippers are here watching you. We want you so badly. We're watching you. Do you see us watching you? And all that stuff didn't matter. Kawhi Leonard wanted Paul George. So the Clippers figured out a way, and they get him. They get Paul George. So Kawhi Leonard jumps on, and now left there standing going, whoa, what happened is Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook. And that's a one pro team city in Oklahoma City. And the fans love the Thunder. But they've never had anything but star power. Remember, they had Westbrook, Durant, and James Harden. And Durant left. First it was Harden that left. And they had Westbrook and Durant. Then Durant left. But they had Westbrook and Paul George. They've always had star power. Now Paul George wants out. Oklahoma City, we'll see how much they are attracted to the game of basketball without the star power that they've always been used to. Even when the Hornets went over there, that was some of the Hornets' best teams with Chris Paul and David West and Tyson Chandler, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what they can do from there. The All-Star game is upon us, Home Run Derby. All the best to Alex Bregman, DJ LeMahieu, some former LSU Tigers who are going to be playing in the Midsummer Classic. And we thought about it. We talked about it. We anticipated it. Nothing officially official, but all reports are that LSU will have a new baseball hitting coach next season. Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball reported last night that Tulane assistant and recruiting coordinator Eddie Smith is going to replace Sean Ochinco as a volunteer and hitting coach. Palmieri hasn't said anything yet. He won't confirm it. He won't deny it. It's done. It's done. Here's a guy that worked with Palmieri back at Notre Dame. And when you don't win a championship, and it's been a long time since LSU has, and you don't get to Omaha, changes, they are coming. So much more on that as the days and weeks move on. One former LSU basketball player is turning heads in summer league basketball, and that's Cavell Bigby Williams, the big 6'11 left-hander who's had back-to-back double-doubles for the New Orleans Pelicans. He had 14-14 against the Washington Wizards. He'll have another chance today. Zion Williamson played a few minutes. 9 minutes, got 11 points, collided with the knee, and the Pelicans doing the obvious right thing and holding him out. He doesn't need to play summer league ball. He needs to get in shape, needs to get ready for camp, and ready to go from there when it counts. So congratulations so far to Cavell Bigby Williams. It might be tough for him to make the Pelican squad, but representatives from every team in the league are in Vegas watching the summer league games, and all you got to do is impress one to land a gig on a team. In track news, LSU's Jason Flournoy was named Runner of the Year. Freshman pole vaulter Mondo Duplantis was named Field Athlete and Freshman of the Year by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association track and field honors list. National sprint winner Sha'Carri Richardson doubled up as the runner and freshman of the year for the women. All of those absolute no-brainers. Let me tell you what's coming up on the show today. Hard to believe we are 1 week away from SEC football media days. Hard to believe, but it's true. With that in mind, we've got a heavy dose of football coming your way. At around 2:30 this afternoon, people are wondering, is LSU going, what's this new offense? Is it really going to be that way? And is LSU going to abandon the running game? Are they going to get away from it a little bit? No, they won't. But we'll have one of the running backs with the most experience coming back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will join us, talk about some of the newcomers and what he feels about John Emery Jr. and others. And maybe, just maybe, tell us a little bit more about this offense that everybody is waiting with bated breath to actually see. We've been promised for years it's going to happen this year. But to what extent? We'll talk to Clyde Edwards-Helaire about that. There is a trend, I think, in college football, and this is a great one if you're an LSU fan. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State seem to be collecting the most commitments from the best players in the country. And there seems to be a trend now, much like the NBA, where great players want to play with other great players to have a chance to win a championship. And it seems like more and more that's starting to happen on the grassroots level with high school players. And the opening just took place in Texas. And players are talking, trying to recruit one another, to come play with one another, to win a championship, to compete for a championship. We'll discuss that strategy with Steve Wiltfong, the national recruiting analyst of 247 Sports, and with, as I said, SEC Media. We'll talk to him about 3:15. And with Nash, the SEC Media Days taking place next Monday, we will be represented by 103.7 The Game there. Raymond Parsh, Rap Game, RP3 will be there, and he'll be reporting on our show of all the happenings. And I mean, I'm going to get him to get some guests for us. I'm going to put him to work. Doggone. But with that in mind, some early thoughts on the SEC race. Everybody's going to pick Alabama in the West. Everybody's going to pick Georgia in the East. But every year there's a team that comes around that fools everybody. And last year, no question, it was LSU. How many? Oh, they're going to be 6-6 if they're lucky. If they're lucky. And Ed Orgeron, he may be fired after 1 year. Well, they win 10 games, including a bowl game. They're one bad call away from beating Texas A&M to win 11. They finished number 6 in the country. And, oh, what a difference a year makes. The expectations through the proverbial roof for LSU. Saturday down south, as LSU is the fifth-ranked team in the country. Puts them third in the SEC, but fifth overall. So the expectations are through the roof. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, will join us to discuss some of the hot topics in SEC football race. Is some of the glimmer off of Kirby Smart. Who's going to be that surprise team? Is Kentucky a one-hit wonder? Are things getting better in Knoxville? And what's happening? A lot of teams have lost a lot of players. Some key players. Are they going to take a step back, or have they replenished them on the recruiting front? Is there enough depth to offset that? Nobody returns more than LSU, and LSU's got a quarterback back for another season. That's why you're getting a lot of love for the Tigers. So that's our lineup today. CD is the stick stirring the drink, controlling everything. We'll take our first time out of the day, come back with more. Great to be back with you. This July the 8th, the Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline, it's the Jordy Helfert Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour. Hope you're having a great Monday. It's always tough getting back on the saddle, getting in the swing of things. But all is good. 337-706-0111. Again, the big stories out there. Women's soccer. Wow. How good are they? How good are they? And again, every 4 years is the World Cup, and only the second time in the history of the World Cup, back-to-back championships, and Team USA did it. And that is something else, man. So congratulations to them. The run of Coco Gauff is over at Wimbledon. The 15-year-old phenom lost to the seventh-seeded Halep 6-3, 6-3. Still a great run as she's proud of it. She kind of took the tennis world by surprise as she beat Venus Williams early on and got to the second round, week two of Wimbledon, which is good, very good. And the prize money keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it looks like a star has been born on the tennis front at the tender age of 15 years old. Serena Williams was a winner today over Suarez Navarra, straight sets, 6-2, 6-2. As was said earlier, Justin Verlander gets the start in the All-Star game Tuesday night. He's been so good for so long, throws it so good, and he will start for the American Leaguers. And if you had to give an MVP now, the Astros are just good. And just another savvy, smart move to get him from Detroit and all that. So he'll be facing the National League and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Verlander's an eight-time All-Star. He's 10-4, 2.98 ERA, 153 strikeouts in 126 and two-thirds innings. It's his second AL start. So good for him. He's just good. He's just so darn good. Christian Yelich, who bowed out of the home run derby with a back issue, will play in the game. He's leading off for the National League. Yelich leads the majors with 31 home runs. Wow. Absolutely amazing. The National League, youngest starting lineup in All-Star game history, an average of 25.75 years. Pretty young. Looks like baseball's in good shape. George Springer will lead off and play right field for the AL, followed by, this is great, DJ LeMahieu batting second. Angels center fielder Mike Trout batting third. Cleveland first baseman Carlos Santana batting cleanup. Boston DH J.D. Martinez fifth. And another Tiger, Alex Bregman at third, batting sixth. Pretty darn good. Followed by Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez and then Astros left fielder Michael Brantley. Pretty darn good. Pretty good. So after Rue, they will send Clayton Kershaw to the mound and then Jacob DeGrom. So baseball's got a lot of star power, and it's terrific. Does the home run derby wet your whistle? Are you going to watch it? Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else going on really in sports, so you'll definitely watch it. Who's going to win it? Man, I have no earthly clue. No earthly clue. I don't have a clue. Somebody is, though, right? Somebody has to. So there you go. There you go. Other than that, wow. Summer League. How about the fact Zion Williamson and the Pelicans are playing their first Summer League game? And he gets out there and he's first, gets fouled and goes to the free throw line, makes it. Then he gets back-to-back-to-back-to-back dunks, four dunks. He's got 9 points. Comes out of the game, had a little collision with the knee. And the Pelicans, as I said earlier, doing the right thing and keeping him out of it. Doesn't need to play a summer league game. But all of a sudden, there is a earthquake, 7.1 earthquake. I've never been through an earthquake, to be quite honest with you. So I don't know what that sensation is like. If you have, please call us at 337-706-0111 and let me know. But they had one in California. Vegas is about 140 miles from there. And scoreboard starts to sway. Speakers start to sway. Players are like, whoa, whoa. It's like somebody's grabbing you by the hip and pushing you in a direction you don't want to go. And so Vegas did the right thing. They just stopped the game, got everybody out of there, and resumed the next day. The game was official. They just didn't resume the game, but they resumed playing games the next day. But Zion's out. Frank Jackson sure looks good. Another year under his belt, that former Dookie. Sure looks good. So I think the free agency of the NBA is slowly, I think that's about it. All that's left now is what's going to happen with Russell Westbrook. And is somebody going to trade for him? And that 40-something million dollar contract that he's due. How do you do it? I don't know. But somebody will figure it out. Will he join up in Houston with Harden again? And what does that do to Chris Paul? Now, all speculation. But, again, Oklahoma City, every year has had superstars. They may have none now. And how will that fan base adapt and adjust? Your guess is as good as mine. We'll take a time out here. When we come back, LSU running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire will join us. We'll talk about what summertime has been like. How are the 7-on-7s going? How's that offense looking? Come on back. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game.
Whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Handoff. Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the two. Stood up and keeps on turning his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers. Clyde Edwards-Helaire with his seventh rushing touchdown of the season. And the opening drive results in 6 points for LSU.
Oh, he had a really, really good second season. Only 9 carries as a freshman, up that to 146 as a sophomore, running for 658 yards, a 4.5 average, and as you heard, 7 touchdowns with a long of 47. From Baton Rouge and Catholic High School, the junior, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kind enough to join us. Thanks for the time. Hope you had a great 4th of July, buddy. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing really, really well, thank you. How's the off season been for you? A lot of work, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it's going great. Coach Moffitt, his off season program has always been a good one, and right now everybody's getting after it. So it's been a great one for me, and looking forward to finishing off these next 2 weeks.
The running back group, yourself, they got some newcomers coming back. What do you see? Give us a little lowdown on what do you see from the newcomers?
They're young guys. Everybody's kind of trying to just find their little things that they need to work on before fall camp. They're coming in, learning the offense, and competing, and just being overall just getting to know each other is a big part as far as the running back group. So we've been kind of just chilling and hanging and just finding our niche as far as our room. So
how nice is it now? You've had a couple of years under your belt. You remember what it was like when you first stepped on campus as a freshman and how that compares to now?
Oh yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, and the time is flying. Now it's just realizing that now I'm one of the older guys in the room, and I have to be a role model for those guys coming in and teach them things and let them know how to run that tradition is at LSU and just kind of the things that I was told and the things that's been passed down through generations as far as the running back group. So it's pretty cool.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kind enough to join us. Can you share some of those things? What do you tell the newcomers about the tradition of that running back room?
It's kind of instilled in the room. Like a lot of guys, they come in knowing just kind of like just how like mind strong we are. We all come in having that will to play, and also knowing that we feel like we're the superiors on the field, and that's just how the running back tradition has been at LSU. You wouldn't be able to tell a guy who's played running back at LSU that they are not one of the best athletes on the field. And having that mindset, having that, and then bettering yourself to become a student of the game, already being the athletes that we are coming in the room, but also being one of the smartest, being some of the smartest guys on the field, is something that's taught and that's pretty much taught
kind of a given, huh?
Year to year. So, I mean, understanding, you know, as far as the run game and what the linemen have to do, and also pass game and pass pro. So, being one of the smartest guys on the field is something that we take to heart, and that's something that we always talk about.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, number 22, junior running back, fall camp right around the corner. Seems like vacations or summertime goes quicker and quicker each and every year. Are you out there catching a lot of passes in this summertime, this off season? Hint, hint. Are you out there working on your receiving skills?
Yeah, you know, as far as our group, we all know that at times that we would have to catch the ball, and ever since I came in, my freshman year, Darryl and Darius, they always pressed about catching, and they would rather our game not be one dimensional. So catching passes has been something that we've done every summer going into the season. You know, always being ready for anything that can happen. So that's something that we've done. Yeah. Since I've been here, I'm pretty sure they've done it years before I was here.
Right. LSU will never get away from the running game, and they shouldn't. There's too many talented players. But we keep hearing about getting our athletes in space and creating mismatches, getting the ball to our athletes early and letting them go. Are you excited about this Steve Ensminger, Joe Brady, this new – we'll see it. We'll believe it when we see it. This new offense that is out there for you. Are you pleased with it?
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm pleased with it. It's, you know, Coach Ian and Coach Joe Brady, they came together, and I mean we have an offense that I actually love, and it's something that we worked on. It's something that we did in the spring. Really didn't show too much. Spring practice and the spring game, but as far as the offense, I give all. I mean, as far as Coach E and Coach Brady, they're putting these things together, and I'm in love with the offense. It's something that I've been waiting on, and I mean, I can't wait to actually be under those lights and showing you know what I'm saying, showing Louisiana what we have in store.
That's awesome. Joe Burrow came out and said, I don't think LSU fans are used to seeing a team score. Now, this is what he said, 40, 50, or 60 points a game. Really?
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm right behind Joe with that statement. And, you know, I'm born and raised in Louisiana, and he just kind of came around. And as far as what he said, I'm willing to back him up on it. So 40, 50, 60 points a game, I'm really to stand behind Joe on that. I mean, he's
awesome.
The starter, and you know, And if he's confident, I'm confident. So we rolling.
What a difference a year makes. At this time a year ago, you didn't know Joe Burrow very well. How have you seen him grow, not only as a player, but as a leader for this club?
Oh, it's Joe's team. Joe realizes it, and he came in and won a lot of guys' trust. And then, you know, throughout the season, just watching the type of guy that he is and then getting to know him, you know, but as a person and not just Joe the football player, being friends with him and just talking about things away from football, and then him being able to hit that switch and everybody knows, all right, whatever Joe says goes, you see he took over. And I mean, I don't do anything but respect Joe and the things that he has to say. And, you know, vice versa. He's always there to listen if I have things to say about, you know, anything that's going on, because as an offense we talk. We always talk. It's not a one man show. It's not a one person just telling us everything to do. If Joe feels something can be switched, we'll switch it. We'll talk to the offensive coordinators, talk to position coaches and everything else and get everything figured out. And, you know, if any other position is the same way, they'll communicate to Joe and Joe does the rest or makes any adjustments that they feel necessary to better the offense. So as an overall leader, Joe is that leader.
Gotcha. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kind enough to join us. The junior running back to be, who had 7 touchdowns a year ago. How is it going up against a Dave Aranda defense? Is that fun?
Oh yeah, it's fun every day. It's being able to not see the same things every day, and know that whatever you got away with, last segment of practice, a segment before. If you got away with something, you best believe he's been made an adjustment before we even got the team. So being able, just always playing a mind game. I like playing mind games with defenses and being able just to you know, pick things apart and actually be a student of the game. And just having Coach Aranda on the other side of the ball, it's nothing but beneficial for me. So it's and our offense. So being able to see whatever he has in store and then just going to the game, it makes it that much more easier.
Clyde, you know, a year ago, everybody, all the expectations, you know, and Coach O talks about it, block the expectations, block out the noise. Noise wasn't very positive a year ago. You were the surprise team of the SEC and maybe even of the country. Now comes all the expectations in the world. What's more difficult to block out, the low expectations or the high expectations?
I would honestly say as a team, we don't even talk about it. And Coach O's instilled it in us to the point to where, I mean, just media as a whole, like we don't even communicate about it. We don't talk about it. We talk about as far as what we have to do that day in order to become a better team. And then ultimately as teammates and players, I feel like we've been more in tune with each other as far as the things that we have, you know, the practices or whatever we have over the summer. It's been more vocal, player to player, defense to offense, and people getting extra work and not using the same position group to do the extra work. It'll be offense and D-line getting the extra work and not just D-line on D-line. So it's as far as thinking about, you know, what everybody else has to say, nobody has even curled a lip to even say anything about the media. We know what the expectations are. We know what our standards are. We've raised it from last season because, you know, we hit a ceiling last season, and we're trying to go through it. So that's the game plan. That's awesome. and that's the mindset, everybody.
Whenever the team has goals higher than anybody else, that's all that really matters. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm just curious. You came to LSU a couple years ago.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how much you weighed then. How much do you weigh now? Have you put on weight? How did that work?
So I probably came in probably at around 200 pounds. I'm 215 right now. Wow. I always put on some weight before fall camp. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Louisiana heat and everything is a little bit different. So so you'll go out there and lose. I mean, you might go out and lose 6-7 pounds in a day, just depending on the workload. So, you know, staying healthy, doing everybody does the yoga and everything that we have, and mopping with the weights, any extra rehab, we get it all. But right now, I'm at 215 and feeling comfortable at it.
And kind of like, you know, your strength has under Moffitt, I'm sure all your weights that you're lifting has increased exponentially.
Oh yeah. I did some powerlifting in high school. Hit some crazy numbers in high school for my weight. And I mean, shoot, I came here and it's like it hasn't stopped. I've been going up ever since.
That's awesome, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Kind enough to join. I don't know if people really understand. There is no rest for you athletes. You guys are constantly putting the work in, even during the summertime. You're going to classes. You're working out. Kind of describe, if you can, kind of a typical day for you right here, right now, before fall camp even gets underway.
Okay. We can talk about today. So today, I woke up at about 6:15. Got to work out early before 7 o'clock. So I started about 6:30, did some extra little work before, extra little warm ups. We worked out from about 7 to about 8:45, close to 9 o'clock. Right after practice, I head home, take a shower, class from 9:50 to 10:50. Then I had tutoring at 11:30, so probably pretty much like a 30-minute break. So I was able to run, grab a little bite. 11:30 to 12:30, we have I had tutoring. Left there, got some extra in the training room, and then kind of just waiting around right now. Then I go to meetings in about 20 minutes.
Wow!
And then meetings, and then whatever else until I get released. So that's just Monday, and it's constant. It's Monday through Friday, and then probably get some
then the season starts, and then there's no days off once the season starts. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time, man. I hope, look, everybody except me is kind of wondering about this running back group, but you're here today to say that the Tiger tradition lives on.
Oh, yes, sir. You know it.
Well, go get you some numbers, man. Go get some touchdowns, and let's put up 40, 50, or 60.
That sounds good to me.
All right, brother. You take care. Enjoy your days and stay healthy, okay?
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, traditions of the running back room. I think the running backs are going to be fine. I think they're going to have a variety of styles and techniques and ways to utilize them. And he said it. He loves this offense. And, yeah, he's been catching passes. So LSU will never get away from the running game. And they'd be foolish, too. But it's how you go about it. And you run when they think you're going to pass and vice versa. I think that's going to be kind of a difference. It's not going to be as predictable and forthcoming as it's been in the past. I think it's going to be a little bit more diverse. Let's just put it that way. And we're all looking forward to it. And we'll see. We're 50-something days away. It's not that far. All right, we'll be back to wrap up hour number one next here, the Jordy Helpert Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Hi, welcome back. Again, our thoughts and prayers to the Robichaux family and friends. Just still the ripple effect is long lasting. And again, his lessons, his words, never, ever forgotten. Brian Maggard was kind enough to share some of his thoughts on the loss of Coach Robe, and he talked about what's comforted him in the last few days since the loss of Coach Robe.
Yeah, you know, for me there is, and that is I know where Tony is today. I know where his faith lied, and certainly I know that he is he's in a far better place, and you know, he would not be shy to admit, you know, that his destination was heaven, and in my heart of hearts I know that's where he is today. So that's why I take great comfort in that.
Maggard was asked what Coach Robe's legacy is, and here's what he had to say.
He's a man of great faith and great principles, and what I think I loved about him as much as anything is how consistent he was. He never wavered. He had principles. He was not afraid to share those principles. He stood by those principles, and he, as he talked the talk, he certainly walked the walk.
With the community, you know,
family and friends are certainly affected, but so are the student-athletes that he recruited and that he had such an impact on. And Mr. Maggard talked about the student-athletes.
Initially, when I spoke with them over the weekend, I think they were still in shock, like most of us were at that time. You know, it's one of these things, I think over time it'll continue to hit us a little bit more. And I told each of them when I spoke to them that I think there'll be different milestones as we progress through this. You know, the first for them being when they come back in the fall, you know, and Tony Robichaux isn't there. But again, I told them that we are here for them, we love them, and we will help see them through this.
Very difficult, but one life ends, but the world goes on. And Brian Maggard was asked, what do you do, cut number five, what do you do now?
Well, I think, you know, we're gonna capture one of Tony's taglines, and that is prepare to progress. You know, we're going to do that. And that's what he would want. That's what I know, you know, whether it was a Lynn Williams or other members who we've lost, you know, from this family, they would want the Raging Cajuns to move forward and to progress, and we're going to do that. But we're going to do it together. It's not something that will happen overnight. You know, we'll be sad. We'll miss Tony for sure and all the others that we've lost. But we will move forward together. We'll get through this together. But it will take some time. It will take some time. But we are all going to prepare to progress.
You often wonder, I mean, I do. I wonder, you know, if I was taken today, what would it be like? Who would show up? What would they think? What would they say? And Brian Maggard talked about the visitation session, and yeah, what a tribute to a legend.
Well, you know, for me, it was certainly a great tribute to a great man. You know, not remotely surprised by the number of people who showed up for his visitation, and again, just reinforced the number of people that he touched, whether directly or indirectly, you know, through his role as a great husband, a great father, a great man, and a great coach.
So, again, our thoughts and prayers and the strength of the Robichaux family and all tested to the limits, but they will get through it. They will. And prepare to progress. That's tantamount. And keep getting those kids that drink out of the water hose and not out of the bottle that the mother brings in the third inning. That's the legacy again. Tony Robichaux, missed, but never forgotten. That wraps up hour number one. Hour number two, a lot of football talk, hot topics, recruiting, and SEC Media Days right around the corner. It's all coming your way. Hour number two, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Shorty Hultberg.
Hour number two, and away we go. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July holiday, and away we go. U.S. women's soccer, the best in the world. Major League All-Star Game coming up Tuesday, Home Run Derby tonight, and in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, together for the L.A. Clippers. Wow, seismic moves in the NBA. We do it every day at this time of day. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler as CD hits the button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, Mr. Domain, back and better than ever, refreshed from a 4th of July holiday. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic, Jordy. Might as well just start things off a little fun. How many hot dogs did you eat over the course of the weekend?
I actually only had two. How about you?
I'm in the same boat, Jordy, especially after seeing Joey Chestnut devour 71. I thought he was going to lose, Jordy. I honestly thought he was going to lose. Only because, like, when he was walking down that aisle, he was clutching his stomach. I was like, oh, he's not feeling too hot. He's going to lose this one.
Yeah, but the bright lights came on, and oh, gross. It's just so nasty. I watched some of it, and then I had to stop. I just couldn't watch anymore.
I mean, well, let's be honest, Jordy. After you wind up seeing a guy take a, like, 15-dog lead, you could pretty much stop watching.
Yes, a 15-dog lead. Yes. He was coasting from there. He wasn't going to set a record, but he was going to win the belt again. Well, and the $10,000 that goes with it.
Exactly. He came pretty darn close, though. I'll give him that. But, man, it was interesting to watch. And, you know, I brought the fact it's like he wound up having, like, I think, at one point, a 15-dog lead. He's definitely not the Atlanta Falcons, Jordy.
I'm wondering, in a hot dog eating contest, 75 would have set the record. He gets 71. Is that equivalent to like a 30-point football win or a 20-point basketball? I mean, is there any equivalency there?
Oh, no, I think that's definitely an accurate, like, equivalency when you just think about it, Jordy. You're talking about 30-point football win, and you win the way that you did, especially against a pretty large field. I feel like it's I hate to make this comparison,
but
Jordy.
But it's like getting from 71 to 75. How tough are those last four dogs?
Oh, it's extremely tough, Jordy, especially when you just look at how everything goes to begin. It's like he wound up just coming out man on fire. I think he wound up almost devouring 20 dogs in like 2 minutes. And it's just like eventually
gross.
The body just can't handle 75. It'd be great to it'd be the great moment to see that hit that summit, but it feels like that's just a bridge too far. For a man like him that's been doing this for as long as he has, Jordy, it's amazing.
God. We're efforting to get him because our buddy, Adrian Morgan, who, you know, got his share in.
Didn't do that bad.
He didn't do that bad. He's coming down for a pizza eating contest. I think it's next week. So we're going to get him, and we're going to get Jaws on the program.
That'd be awesome. Get Joey Chestnut. Might as well get him the Megatoad himself. In as well. Go for the trifecta.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But
right, no more food talk. I'm getting ill. Next.
Oh, Jordy, we're going to move it on over. And, of course, I think we got to talk about the women's national team. My goodness, they were just on another level. And on Sunday morning, they were really good. Mm. I mean, you wound up seeing them. The Netherlands gave them a hard time in the first half. But once Rapinoe hit that penalty kick, I mean, all of America, like, lost their ever-living minds. All the reactions I saw, the bars, the venues they were at. It's just crazy to see how soccer crazy this country is becoming.
Over a billion people watched that event. It is astronomical. And I loved every second of it. I really, truly did. Usually no score, and I'm bored stiff, but... Boy, they're so skilled, and you're right. Rapinoe gets it done, and then in a matter of, it seemed like seconds, they had the breakaway and another goal, and then they kept challenging and challenging. They're just really, really, really good. And Carrie Lloyd comes off the bench, and she's one of the all-time greats. It shows you the depth and Only the second country to ever win back-to-back world titles. So, that man, they're some, and boy, do they dominate over the men. Holy cow. They are something.
Oh, they really do dominate over the men who wound up losing in their final last night to Mexico 1-0. And that was just disappointing as all get out. It just felt like...
And that's...
Go on.
That's not even against Brazil and France and Germany and all those people. So that's just a little... That's like a junior varsity event. I hate to say that.
Yeah, I mean...
But, you know, isn't, I mean, they're not even close.
I'm in agreement with that one entirely, Jordy. But I'm absolutely loving what's going on right now in the NBA, Jordy. Because free agency got to another level, like, what was it, Saturday morning? At, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, you have Kawhi Leonard just basically, hey, I'm joining the Clippers. Paul George is coming with me. Let's ride. I'm like, oh, yes. Just amazing to see what's going on with the NBA.
And the Clippers never would have gotten it done unless Kawhi told them, this is what I want. And give the Clippers the fortitude and the wherewithal. The logo, Jerry West, strikes again. They get Kawhi wrapped up. They get Paul George wrapped up. Then Kawhi says, okay, I'm coming. And there you have it. The West just got a lot tougher. And can you imagine when the Clippers and the Lakers play one another in Staples Center, how much fun that's going to be?
Oh, it's amazing just to see how it is. Like, in all honesty, it's going to be almost a Civil War-type vibe to it because you've got the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers right here, right now. I haven't seen the latest odds, but I wouldn't be surprised if those are the two teams that are highly favored to wind up making it to the NBA Finals, Jordy. So it's definitely going to be a battle for Los Angeles right here, right now. Drawing the battle lines. Which way are you leaning, Jordy? Lakers or Clippers?
I'm leaning with the Clippers just because those two players, I just believe in them. But look, I was hoping Kawhi would stay in the East. That's just another. Look, the Lakers are making the playoffs. They didn't make it a year ago.
Yeah.
They're making the playoffs. The Clippers making the playoffs. I mean, it's your margin of error. You got the Clippers. You got the Lakers. You know Houston's going to be good. Portland's going to be good. Denver's going to be good. There's a whole bunch of teams out west. I don't know what's going to happen with Oklahoma City and where Russell Westbrook is going to end up because that's a whole interesting scenario there. San Antonio is going to be good. Dallas is going to be good. There's a lot of good teams in the West, including the Pelicans. It makes for an interesting, you know, there is not that super team anymore. Yeah. There aren't those three put together. There are really talented duos spread throughout the league. I think the league is going to be terrific for it. I really do.
And it's just going to be great to have it be a lot more interesting when you look at the Western Conference. We've talked about it. It's always been stacked, but it feels now a lot more balanced. And we talk about the Los Angeles Clippers, Jordy. I feel like this is amazing. You just look at it. 2 years ago, you lost Blake Griffin and you lost Chris Paul. And now you got two superstars coming over, and that could wind up changing their fortunes entirely.
I like the new two better than the old two. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I think everybody does, Jordy.
And you think Doc Rivers is celebrating? Oh, you know he is. So, yeah, that just makes the West that much tougher.
Yeah, I have to about imagine everybody is looking forward to what's going on with the NBA world of NBA free agency. And Russell Westbrook, where do you think he's going to wind up going? Because it feels like everybody doesn't necessarily would have a spot available for him. And if they want to move Russell Westbrook in this season, where do you think he winds up going?
God, I mean, they keep talking about Houston. How's that going to work? He and Harden reunited. Is there a spot on the Pelicans? I think there would be.
It feels tough, though.
Westbrook and Drew Holiday and Zion. Can you get out and run a little bit with that group?
Yeah.
I have no idea where he's going to go, but that would be fun.
Well, all right, Jordy, I got one more quick question for you, and it's all about Zion Williamson, who wound up bouncing out of the Summer League game on Friday before the earthquake happened. Due to that knee injury, he'll be skipping out the rest of Summer League. Is that concerning for you? Because a lot of people are taking this way too seriously.
No, it doesn't concern me at all. Knee to knee. If needed, if it was a playoff game, he'd be out there playing. All right, let's just put it that way. But Zion, he's been hitting the buffet table a little bit. He'll get in shape, and he'll be ready to roll. There's your Hot Topics of the Day, brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce every day. Do yourself a flavor. Bring Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. Football talk next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hooker Show on 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back to the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We always talk about recruiting and how it really never sleeps. Even during dead periods, there's people are interested and want to know what's going on. The opening in Frisco, Texas just closed up. And I wanted to bring in national recruiting analyst for 247 Sports, Steve Wilfong, get his thoughts on how the landscape maybe of high school football players is kind of like turning toward the landscape of the NBA. Players are talking. Players want to play with good players because they want to play for a championship. Steve, thanks for the time. Hope you had a great 4th of July, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jordy. Thanks for having me on.
Do you see a trend that way where more and more, because it seems like Clemson, Alabama, LSU, these SEC teams and teams in the South, you look at all the national boards, and those are the teams that are recruiting the best. Do you see a trend where most of the best players want to play with those type of players on certain teams?
Well, I think those are the programs that are recruiting their asses off and doing a good job building reports with these kids and getting these young men to campus, and then these young men are getting to know each other residually because of that, meeting during their visits and talking and chatting. And those schools you mentioned, Clemson, Alabama, LSU, those are the top three in the 24/7 Sports composite team recruiting rankings right now, with Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia rounding out the top six. Those schools are really working it hard right now and doing a fantastic job. Now, it should be added that Texas had top three classes the last 2 years. Figure the Longhorns, with the way they're playing, they'll make some sort of run at some point. And Oklahoma signed the best offensive skill player class in the country last year when you're talking quarterback, running back, receivers, and tight end. So those programs doing a nice job as well.
It just seems like there is an arm race, and it's like the top talent is getting split between those schools trying to form what the NBA does, and that's kind of like a super team because these players think, I'm going to be here 3 years, I'm going to play for a championship in at least one of them, and then I'm taking my skill set to the NFL.
Well, these programs, they all have – when you look at Clemson, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and Ohio State, their head coaches are setting the tone at the top in their respective ways, and their staffs are bought in and doing a good job. And then, again, when these young men come to campus multiple times, they have great visits. And we're seeing these schools going toe-to-toe for most of the – five stars and blue chippers nationally and splitting them amongst each other right now.
Steve Wilfong, 247 Sports recruiting analyst, kind enough to join us. The Ed Orgeron factor, you talk about it, working his derriere off. What do you sense from kids and this brand that LSU is all of a sudden, and the fact that in this recruiting class they've got from California to Baltimore, Maryland, to Florida, and all points in between?
Well, that just speaks to when people get on, young men get on LSU, and their families get on LSU's campus, they feel an aura and a place with great tradition and a place where they can meet their goals right now, which is to play in the NFL and play championship-level football. And for Coach Orgeron, he's embraced the fact that, hey, we're trying to beat Alabama. We're tired of losing to them. We need a few more players. We need you. We need you to come in here and help change the tide in this rivalry right now. And kids are buying into being the potential difference makers to knock off Alabama.
What weighs more heavily, you think, in players' minds, playing for a championship or a school that gets more players to the NFL? Because, you know, Miami, USC, they may not be the greatest teams right now, and even LSU in recent past. But, boy, they get a lot of players that get to the league. What do players say about that factor?
Well, I think the NFL is the first and foremost, but playing for championships oftentimes goes hand in hand. But these young men are looking for a place where they could be developed into the best player they could be at their respective position. And I think that that's the most important part of most of their decisions.
Steve Wilfong, 247 Sports. LSU is spread out all over the country. I always get a little like, well, let's wait and see, because it's easy to say California to Baton Rouge 6 months prior to put your name on a dotted line. Do you think LSU has the wherewithal to keep these kids and to get them to sign on the dotted line? Because sometimes mom at the 23rd hour goes, boy, that's a long way from home. You sure you want to go do that?
Well, look, every class has to deal with that. And LSU is going to have some defections from this group just because everyone will. And certainly, yeah, you never know. What if USC has a coaching change and the next one's a very exciting one? And the move is made in a fashion timely enough to start recruiting these kids, and these kids understand what the new regime is going to be like. Yeah, certainly. Or a team that has a top 10 class right now, and one of the things that they're selling is potential, and then the fall comes around and they're not playing to that level, and there's Alabama again, where they always are at the top of the SEC standings. They'll come with their spatula in December and flip a guy or two. LSU needs to have a good year. And they showed they were exciting. They were an exciting football team last year. And I believe they returned the most starters in the SEC this year, right, including their quarterback,
right.
Joe Burrow.
Right.
Is that accurate? Yeah. So
that is pretty darn accurate.
They should be knocking on the door of the college football playoff, and at the very least playing in a New Year's Six game, so this class should stay together. But if for some reason it doesn't go that way, yeah, it could. This class could unravel, because they have a lot of good players in this class that schools are going to continue to keep in touch with.
Right. Who do you like, and how do you like the composition of this recruiting class? And do you see a trend that, I mean, it seems like Ed Orgeron's going after a lot of defensive linemen.
Well, he understands where the game is won at the point of attack, and he's a defensive line guy at heart anyway, and getting after the quarterback and pressure. Some guys in this class that I really love, Elias Ricks is the number one ranked corner in the 24/7 Sports rankings, He's got terrific instincts and long and just a hell of a football player. This receiver class is really good. With Rakeem Jarrett, Kayshon Booten, Jermaine Burton. I think Jermaine Burton, the ceiling he has is just tremendous. And Kayshon Boutte out of Westgate there in New Iberia. It's one of the best receiver classes in the country. So those would be the things that I would highlight. I saw Lorando Johnson at the opening last week, and I thought he was really good. In the secondary at the opening finals. LSU's recruited a bunch of defensive linemen in this class. I would say that the guys that are the no-brainers at the position that they're in on are still out there, but these are guys that are good prospects.
One of them right in their own backyard, who was committed to LSU, Roy, and then decommitted. It seems like it's three SEC teams, LSU, Bama, and Texas A&M. Do you have a crystal ball on that one yet?
Well, I think that with those schools, A&M's done a good job of getting into the conversation, but they're a fall away from winning some of those. So you're back to Alabama and LSU. And as we know, there's one school that's been able to come into the state of Louisiana and break the hearts of the Baton Rouge faithful for a blue chipper every cycle is Alabama. And so you have to say, it would be hard for me to sit here and say that LSU is going to land them both with Alabama's track record of recruiting blue chippers in the state. But LSU is obviously in the thick of it for both, and both are thinking strongly about the Tigers.
Quarterback T.J. Finley, did you get a chance to watch him at all? And if you did, what were your thoughts on him?
So I've seen TJ live several times, and again this past week at the opening finals, and he's an extremely talented guy that has as much arm talent as anyone in the country and has a good energy about him and seems like a legit gym rat. He's still incredibly raw, though, too, as far as, you know, decision-making and being accurate. But all the traits are there for him to develop into a fine quarterback in college if he puts it all together.
Steve Woodfong. So back to full circle. It still takes a lot of work. Even though you have a name and a brand and you play for championships, players, they want to be recruited. They want to know that they're special and they're important to you. And,
100%.
That's why, right? That's why the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Georgias are there year after year, it seems.
Well, what's the point of evaluating these guys and saying that these are our top targets and these are the guys that we think are the best players in America? And if you're at the schools you just mentioned, you're trying to recruit the best players in America. What's the point of evaluating them and putting them on your board that way if you're going to half-ass the recruiting effort of getting them?
Good point. Well said.
They're not doing that at LSU. Yep.
No, well put. Steve, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work.
Have a good one. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Steve Woodfong, 247 Sports. It's all about the effort. And kids are kids. They want to know they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you got to tell it to them every day. Every day. And if you don't, somebody else will, and they'll flip over to them. They all want to be and feel special. Someone special coming up next, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana Sports Station. Come on back.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Well, it's really hard to believe as we welcome you back to the Jordy Helfrich Show that 1 week from today, the college football world will be convened as the SEC begins its week-long media event. Coaches, players from each team in the league will convene. Questions will be asked. Pictures will be taken. Where'd the summer go? So with that in mind, it's time to bring in Mr. College Football for some early thoughts on what this SEC season holds for all of us. Very kind to join us, Mr. Tony Barnhart. Tony, how's the summer been, my friend?
Hot and short. But every year, Jordy, we have our own July 4th parade, Independence Day parade, in our little community called Dunwoody, just outside of Atlanta.
Absolutely.
And we're always standing there, and my as the parade goes by, and my wife looks at me and goes, "Summer's over, right?" I said, "Yep."
We start having you around the house, but now you got to travel. I understand.
And part of that's good for us because about right now she's saying, "Don't you have somewhere you need to go?"
And Tony's been doing this forever and a day, and nobody better at it. So, as the SEC gets ready to convene, what's going through your mind? What are you looking most forward to? What's piqued your curiosity?
Well, when I start my prep work, first thing I do is write down as many questions as I can think of and stuff that I'm looking at as we go to SEC Media Days. And I got to about 15 and stopped the other day. Uh-huh. I think there's so many fascinating storylines from, you know, what's going to happen at Auburn with Gus Malzahn calling
right.
the plays. And right. LSU is promising us again that they're going to open up the offense and they're going to bring in, they're going to put the RPOs and all that. And they really, really mean it this time. Okay,
yeah.
are they going to do it? is Alabama so motivated by what happened to them against Clemson that they're going to be untouchable? Does Georgia have enough talent to challenge Alabama, maybe beat them this time for the championship? I mean, the list of the graduate transfer quarterbacks are going to have a tremendous impact. Mm-hmm. There's just tons and tons of great storylines as we get to Hoover.
No question about that. Is there a surprise team on the horizon for you? It seems like every year, you know, somebody maybe does something that we didn't anticipate. Maybe a team that was picked high drops, a team that was picked low, like LSU last year. Nobody in the world picked LSU to win 10 games and to finish sixth in the country.
Yeah, and I don't really see that kind of team, because I think Georgia and Alabama are clearly at the top of their division. From a talent standpoint, Florida's second in the East. I have no idea who's going to be third. That's why I don't see any kind of a surprise team. You know, if Auburn gets better quarterback play than they had a year ago, if their offensive line's improved, the defense is going to be great. Auburn's problem is they're over schedule. Auburn could be that kind of team, I think, if the quarterback and the offensive line improve, but they're really over scheduled, I think. Yeah. And so I don't really see that LSU kind of surprise team coming, unless it's LSU, okay?
LSU, the expectation, what a difference a year makes, right? Last year, the expectations were so low, and now the expectations are through the roof again.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, a year ago, Ed Orgeron, I don't know about this guy. I don't know if he can coach or not, and all that, you know. And the thing about it is, they win 10 games. If they beat Texas A&M, they win 11 games, and it's amazing. You know, now they're bringing in John Robinson to sort of help out. And hey, look, of all the games I'm looking forward to, there's no game that I am more looking forward to than LSU going to Texas on the 7th. That's a huge football game for both of those teams.
And with so many great storylines underneath it, with the hiring of a coach. They wanted Herman. They didn't get him. They get Orgeron, and Orgeron has a better year. Texas is on the way up. There's a lot of interesting tidbits to it. You mentioned Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. You mentioned Alabama. Old Saban's pretty good after a year in which they didn't win it all, and they lose a bowl game. He's pretty good, as I recall, after those kind of seasons.
Well, it's happened four times, and he won four national championships, so I would say that's a pretty good record. Now, Jordy, I went up there to see him in the spring, and he felt pretty good about where he was. He knew he understands how they got their hat handed to him by Clemson. They got outplayed, they got out hit, they got out coached. All of that stuff happened, and he went and he didn't sit there. He made some changes, and I think he feels really good about this group of coaches. He admitted that he wanted to get younger for recruiting. He got too young. Okay. And these guys recruited well. I know the number one recruiting class, but guess what? When it came to crunch time, they needed more from a coaching standpoint. So he feels good about, and Alabama's got, tons of players, and they lost seven underclassmen. I know all that, but, let's just say they are sufficiently motivated going into the season.
I would think so. Tony Barnhart, kind enough to join us. SEC Media Days start 1 week from today. Has some of the luster worn off of Kirby Smart? Came under a lot of criticism for the way he coached recently, but Georgia's going to be good, and they got maybe the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in the country coming back in Jake Fromm.
Georgia's going to be really good. I mean, really, as in Alabama good, as in good enough to beat Alabama. They've got one of the best. They have one of the best offensive lines they've had in a generation. Jake Fromm is just your prototypical quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, who throws it to the right guy. Deep running back core with DeAndre Swift, like they've always had. And so I think they're in really good shape. I think they'll be favored to win every game they play, and then I believe they'll win all their games and play Alabama and Atlanta, and who knows what will happen.
What about your boys on Rocky Top? Are they going to show some improvement?
They'll show improvement, but be very, very lucky to get to a bowl. They made a couple of big moves in the offseason. They go to Georgia and get Jim Chaney as their offensive coordinator. He's really going to help Jared Garantano. I mean, Garantano made great strides last year. He'll make even greater strides working with Jim Chaney. But Tennessee is just not there from a roster standpoint, not from a talent standpoint, not from a depth standpoint. They got to have yet another year or two of recruiting. They are very average on the line of scrimmage, and that is being kind, and they're really not very good at running the football. But other than that, it's just great on Rocky Top. So they still I think they're headed in the right direction of Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt's a good football coach, and they have a really good staff. So I think they'll be there. They're just not going to be there this year.
Kentucky finished last year 10-3, number 12 in the country. Yes, Benny Snell and Josh Allen are gone. Is this a one-hit wonder, or has Mark Stoops got the staying power to keep this thing going in the right direction?
Well, I'll tell you this. When I went to see Coach Stoops in the spring, if you see him, Jordy, just a word of advice, do not suggest to Coach Stoops that they're going to take a step back. Let's just put it that way. He does not want to hear that. His attitude is that they've recruited well enough to be much more consistent, and they may be. But Benny Snell is the greatest running back to ever play at the University of Kentucky by yardage. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Josh Allen is the best rush in to ever play in Kentucky. These are two generational players, and they lost 16 seniors. They had four defensive backs invited to the NFL Combine. They lost a lot of talent. I see Kentucky. Don't tell Coach Stoops I said this. I see them 7-5, 8-4 at best.
Over on the West, Texas A&M was 9-4 in the first season under Jimbo Fisher. They've got Kellen Mond as a solid starting quarterback, but Travion Williams is gone. Jay Sternberger is gone. What are your thoughts on A&M after that epic LSU A&M 7 overtime thriller?
Well, I still think I still have got them right now probably third in the division behind Alabama and LSU. Kellen Mond is going to get even better. If you'll look at the track record, second-year quarterbacks under Jimbo Fisher the jump between year one and year two is rather dramatic. So I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be fine. They aren't quite not there from a depth standpoint. I think they're going to have a good team, but I still see them at best a 9-win team.
He's Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. No one can question the job that Dan Mullen did a year ago, finishing 10-3, a team that was 4 wins the year before him to finish number 7 in the country. They retained Todd Grantham, who worked wonders for that defense last year. And you say that Florida's always got talent, right? They have a quarterback?
I thought Felipe Franks made great strides. He went through a little lull at the end of the year, but he got better. But here's the question: they have a young quarterback in Emory Jones who played in 4 games as a true freshman, so he didn't use up a year. Very, very good athlete. Does Dan Mullen take advantage of that? Does Dan Mullen figure out a way to get Jones more snaps and take advantage of the run game? I think that is going to be something to keep an eye on. I thought Felipe Franks made a lot of great strides. The defensive side of the ball, they lose some really good guys like Ja'Kai Polite, Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Those are guys that are really, really good players. Florida is on the way to closing the gap with Georgia, but they're not. I don't think they're there yet. Now Dan Mullen's been sort of talking a great game, but from a talent standpoint, they're not where they need to be. But they are definitely headed in the right direction.
Outside the SEC, is Clemson the clear-cut number one in your book?
Yeah. Clemson's, despite the losses on the defensive line. With Trevor Lawrence back, great running back Travis Etienne, Ross, the great wide receiver that you saw in the national championship game. They are just loaded. I mean, they are so loaded. They got Texas A&M at home on the 21st. I don't see anybody in that league that can beat them. And so I fully expect them, because they're playing at home, I fully expect them to beat Texas A&M and run the table and be the number one or number two seed in the playoff.
Is Lincoln Riley going to make the hat trick? You had Baker Mayfield, then Kyler Murray, and now here comes Jalen Hurts coming over from Alabama to be the quarterback for Oklahoma. Can Lincoln Riley do it again?
He can do it, but the problem is, listen, Jalen Hurts has come so far as a passer. He has really come a long way. He made some throws in the SEC championship game against Georgia.
Unbelievable!
I did not know he could make. But he can't do what those other two guys did. Okay, because those other two guys were just exceptional athletes, great throwers of the football. But there's a lot that Jalen Hurts can do. So what do you do if you're Lincoln Riley? You want to take advantage of his ability to run, but you know you don't want to get him beat up. And that's the problem, is guys get beat up. Now, in that league, you don't get as beat up in that league as you do in the league he came from. So to me, it'll be fascinating to see how much Lincoln Riley puts on the legs of Jalen Hurts. Because that goes counter to what he did with the two Heisman Trophy winners.
I know you love football, but is this going to be an exciting SEC Media Days, or is this going to be kind of a vanilla SEC Media Day in your book?
Well, I always tell people, I say, listen, when you've been to the SEC Media Days and you see a coach get a subpoena as he walks in the door, how do you top that? When you're sitting there listening to Nick Saban and Saban's dog runs into the media workroom, I mean, how do you top that? So, let's hope there's nothing too dramatic. I think we'll certainly I always tell people, they say who do you miss at media day? It's real simple. I miss Steve Spurrier and Les Miles. Yeah. I miss seeing them. I miss their humor. I miss their perspective, but. We'll see. I think Nick Saban's appearance is going to be interesting because he's trying to set the right tone. That he wants his guys to be mad and motivated, but he doesn't want them to be too angry. So that to me will be interesting. And the Dan Mullen, Kirby Smart, Georgia Florida thing got a little heated in the offseason. We'll see how that goes.
Well, it's enjoy your last few days, my friend, and we always appreciate your time. And we look forward to talking to you down the road, my friend. Take care of yourself.
All right, Jordy, thanks.
Okay, that's Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, here on the Jordy Helpert Show. We're back after this. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Time to put the finishing touches on this Monday edition, and a lot of football talk. We got the All-Star Game in Major League Baseball, Home Run Derby, all that stuff. That's always fun. I still like the NBA. I like the MLB All-Star Game. I like the NBA slam dunk three-point shooting contest better than I like the Home Run Derby. But baseball news. Former Rage and Cajun L.A. catcher Jonathan LaCroix said in a text message that he suffered a concussion and a broken nose in a collision at home plate with the Astros' Jake Marisnik on Sunday. He said, otherwise, I'm doing well. I expect to be released from the hospital sometime on Monday. The bases were loaded with the game tied at in the 10th. Marisnik attempted to score on a sack fly by George Springer. Marisnik crashed into LaCroix as the catcher attempted to field the throw. LaCroix immediately fell on his back. He didn't move for a few seconds before struggling to sit up. Marisnik tagged home, then leaned over to LaCroix to see if he was okay. LaCroix lifted his head off the ground a few seconds later, blood dripping from his nose. Marisnik was called out for colliding with LaCroix, and the call was upheld after the crew chief review to end the inning. That bang, bang play. So good news for LaCroix. We wish him the best. A broken nose and a concussion. I guess it could have been a lot worse, but thank goodness he's going to be okay. And his team ended up beating the Astros 11-10 in 10 innings. So who says baseball's not a collision sport, right? My goodness gracious. So the best to the former Raging Cajun. That brought to you by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Great city and a great place. Got everything you need for your travels, no matter how near or how far. And that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner, it's the best. Great cheeseburger. Great cheeseburger. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Let's get to our daily history lesson today. It was on this day, July 8th, the year was 2010. It was strictly known as the decision. And if he could go back in time, he would change it all and never do it again. That's when LeBron James announced to the world his plans to take his talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat. Jerseys were burned. Letters from the owner were written. It was just a made-for-TV debacle. Jim Gray was the host. LeBron sitting on a stage. It was awful. It was awful. LeBron did end up winning his first NBA title with the Heat. But the decision was not very well done. On this day, July 8th, the year was 2010. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have some cake and some ice cream, maybe even a present or two. Let's see. You share with the likes of happy 57th birthday to Toby Keith. Happy 60th birthday to Kevin Bacon, and 67th birthday to Angelica Houston. From a local perspective, it's the birthday of, he was the interim head coach for a game, Hal Hunter, celebrating a birthday today from his day back at LSU. So happy birthday to them, happy birthday to you. If it's your anniversary today, happy, happy anniversary from all of us to all of you. We keep adding year after year after year to it. Special thanks to our guest today, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Running back room is in good hands, he says. Got a lot of talent, going to have a lot of depth, going to surprise a lot of people. Steve Wiltfong, talking recruiting nationally. And Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart. Yes, 103.7 The Game will have presence at the SEC media game, media days. Raymond Parsh will be there, and he'll be contributing to our show throughout next week as well. So we look forward to those reports on everything and anything that's happening in the league, where it just means more. It just does. So thanks to all of them. CD, thanks for all you do. Tomorrow, heck, don't know yet. But when we do, we'll certainly bring it to you. We'll try to get more football players on as we get closer and closer to the start. They're winding their vacations down, and it's time to go to work with a lot of great expectations on both campuses, LSU and the Raging Cajuns in Lafayette. No question. So we have only one Monday, July 8th. Hope you have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time. 2-4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.